Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we get started today, a quick reminder that it literally takes an army of believers standing together prayerfully and financially to advance the flag of truth. And that is why I have prayed this month about a tangible way to express my thanks to those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. And I felt led to offer you a special message on DVD or audio CD that I delivered at the National Conference of Christian Apologetics. I titled the message, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. And in this message, I explain what gave rise to the greatest civilization in the history of our planet, and what vicariously can lead to its fall. More than that, my message is about how you and I must live in the midst of a 21st century apocalypse. Pop culture is beckoning, and with prominent Christian leaders lauding the rejection of biblical morality, we must make sure that postmodern Christians do not swallow the bait. So I'm praying that I can count on you today to send in your most generous gift to the work of the Christian Research Institute. And to say thank you for your faithfulness, I want to send you the Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse, again on DVD or audio CD, along with my prayers that God will use this message to exhort, encourage, edify, and equip you to stand for truth, no matter what the cost. And please remember that the financial support of faithful friends like you is essential ammunition in the battle for biblical truth. Without the necessary resources, we simply can't operate. Without you as co-laborers in Christ, we're largely impotent in the battle for the Bible. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org, when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Dominic up first in North Dakota. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Dr. Hankin. We appreciate you very much up here in North Dakota. We enjoy listening to you, and we enjoy hearing the truth.
Thank you very much.
My question is, though, is I'm getting really upset when my wife and I would listen to our Christian channels on TV, and because the rest of the TV, most of it's all just trash. But I'm really concerned when you got a guy like Peter Popoff and Todd Kuntz and Mike Murdoch and everything, and all they're talking about is the financial gift, and God will send you a blessing in 57 days, or will send you miracle water. And I'm really getting upset because I think all these people are being deceived. Am I wrong there?
No, you're 100% right. And this is trash television. Unfortunately, you have Peter Popoff making a comeback. He was exposed right as a complete fraud, and now he is making a comeback with people that are insomniacs. So people that are watching television late at night can pick up Peter Popoff, and they have problems, they have concerns, they have worries, they have debts, and he's giving them a promise that is completely false and unreliable. Here's an example.
And I also want you to have the miracle spring water from Russia. I brought it back from Russia. prompted and led and directed by the Holy Spirit for you to use as a powerful point of contact for many, many miracles in your life. I just feel someone right now suffering with great pain in your left side. I don't know what's happened. You may have had an accident, broken ribs, a sprained rib. God wants to heal you. You're going to feel soothing relief as soon as you use this miracle spring water. Someone else, you're standing before a mountain of bills. God wants to let you see all of your debts canceled. Supernaturally, use the miracle spring water. God is going to do a miracle for you.
And again, it is an abomination. Unfortunately, this is being done in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you say the Holy Spirit tells you to do something he didn't tell you to do or directs you to do something he didn't direct you to do, that is blasphemous. And this is precisely what Peter Popoff is engaged in. Now, in terms of point of contact, cons. I actually wrote about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, exposing the methods of these televangelists.
Yeah, it just bothers me, you know, because, and then, you know, this, I know Todd Kuntz is another one, you know, I feel 300 people is going to send in $1,000, and, you know, he's asking for $300,000, what he's asking for, but you're going to get a miracle blessing, you know, a financial blessing.
Yes, and unfortunately, this is the problem, because all kinds of people bite into this apple. They fall for the skin of the truth, stuffed with a great big lie. And so often we see it as no harm, no foul, but there are so many people coming in the front doors of these venues that you don't see the people that fall metaphorically out of the back doors into the kingdom of the cults, and they end up disillusioned, not knowing what to believe or who to trust. And this is one of the reasons that the antidote to this kind of a message is to become so familiar with the genuine article that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And you can not only personally be forewarned, but you can warn others not to fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And the reason I say skin of the truth stuffed with a lie is Satan never presents himself in his ugly, naked deformity. If he did, we would never buy into his seductive lies. So these people are seducing you, and once you fall for their bait, you end up having an idea that maybe this is biblically sound, and ultimately, because you don't know the truth, you end up disillusioned. Again, the antidote is becoming familiar with the Word of God and knowing how to read it for all it's worth.
Yeah, and I agree with Leslie Hale. He says when you when the people ask for an offering, you give your offering to that person that you're actually learning something from, a knowledge from, you know. And like your show, or, you know, or people that you know, like Charles Stanley, for instance, and those people, I mean, you have to really use discernment anymore, because it just, I mean, think of the millions and millions of dollars these people are paying, and these so-called pastors are making money.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with making money legitimately, but you want to be properly equipping people with truth. In other words, you want to be doing something that builds up the body of Christ. And the idea is to work for those things that last for all eternity rather than those things that have mere temporary benefit. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We'll leave it at that, but I've written about this in great detail in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, and like I said, may God bless everything that you do.
Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate your call. I want to go to Anne Marie next, listening on Butt Radio in Fresno, California. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, and thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
You helped me so much. It's been a long time, but I am here today. Hank, I wanted to ask a question about the Seventh-day Adventist faith.
Mm-hmm.
I am not knocking them in any way, let's be clear, but I just, someone was telling me that they operate under the law, and I'm not quite sure what that's all about. So I would like you to please clarify, if you can, what truly is their doctrine?
Well, I think we need to be very careful when we talk about the Adventists, because my experience has been that they're not a monolith, which is to say they're multifaceted. You have Adventists who are liberals, and as such, they're like any other liberal denomination that demythologizes the Bible. And therefore, they get rid of the resurrection and the incarnation and these kinds of things. But that's typical liberal denominations. You also have evangelicals, and they major on essential Christian doctrine, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. And then there are traditionalists who major on Adventist doctrines, including soul sleep, Sabbatarianism. I've had so many of them come to my meetings and say, if you worship on Sunday, you've taken the mark of the beast. They also major on the seer status of Ellen G. White, their prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to recognize, in sharp distinction to soul sleep, the Bible provides ample evidence that the soul continues to exist apart from the body. We see that in passages like Philippians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, God himself provided early Christians with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. And then, while Ellen G. White claimed divine authority for her prophecies, she was obviously wrong when she prophesied that she would be alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So she disqualified herself as a genuine prophetess. So again, if you have traditionalists who are focused on the aberrant teachings of Ellen G. White, I think it's very problematic. But there are evangelicals who focus not on those aberrant teachers, teachings. They're a minor part of the whole picture, but rather focus on essential Christian doctrine. And because of that, we share a commonality in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't want to broad brush them. We've written about the Seventh-day Adventism paradigm in a number of different places, including the Christian Research Journal and my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition.
Okay. All right, I need to purchase that book. Do I just get it from you?
Yeah, if you hang on, you can purchase it through the Christian Research Institute.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so very much for this. I really and truly appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you, Anne-Marie. And, of course, for everybody listening in, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is also available personalized for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, 100% of the proceeds go to further this ministry as we reach people not only in the West through radio and publications and materials, but also in the East. We are building up believers, equipping, encouraging, exhorting, and edifying believers, many of whom have come out of ancestor worship and animism and folk religions and the like. They love Jesus Christ, but they need to be built up in the faith so they too can be so familiar with the genuine article that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, they know it instantaneously. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Robert listening on XM 170 in Texas. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I wanted to just ask you a simple question about Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, when it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the form of a flame in the bush, and then in verse 5 it says that then God spoke to him. So I was just wondering, what do they mean by an angel of the Lord? When I mean, I thought it was God and, you know, himself, but... So
well,
I'm
it is.
A little confused.
It is, and that's why you have to understand the moniker Angel of Yahweh. Whenever the word angel is used of Christ, the qualifying phrase is of Yahweh. It's attached to that word angel. The word angel was used of Christ in the sense of messenger or envoy, one who was sent to act in behalf of the Father. So in the Old Testament, the angel of God is clearly identified as God and is also clearly seen as being distinct from God. Thus, we conclude that the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And it's also significant to note that the angel of the Lord does not appear after the incarnation in the New Testament, because then Jesus Christ is forever in flesh. So this then is not a temporary appearance. So the pre-incarnate angel of the Lord is a temporary appearance, very much like a theophany or an angelophany. But then when Jesus Christ comes in the incarnation, he is forever in flesh.
Okay. Okay, great. Because that they hadn't seen Christ yet, so I understand.
Okay.
I was just checking. Okay.
You got it. We've written about this in our publications. If you want further information, just hang on, and we can send that out to you. We're coming to station break. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, the way to do that in a safe, secure fashion, where we have immediate access to the funds, is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.
That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
In Ephesians 5, 15, 16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of The Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go back to our callers, let me put in a quick plug for the Christian Research Journal, probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for Christian faith and ethics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal deals with a host of very significant issues, as every issue of the Christian Research Journal does, including a particular article that I think everyone should read, Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. I get so many questions about divorce and remarriage on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is one of the best articles you'll ever read. In that regard, again, available as a subscription magazine through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at www.equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. By the way, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. We'll go right back to the callers. Daniel, listening on Bot Radio in Riverbank, California. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is in John chapter 3, mm-hmm. verses 13, when Christ was talking about that no man had ascended unto the Father, but unto heaven. And I was just wondering how Elijah and Enoch has, and I was just kind of wonder what the difference was.
Yeah, I think the point here that Jesus Christ is making, and remember, he's in context teaching Nicodemus, the teacher of the law, and Nicodemus is asking him questions, and Jesus says to him, "You are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" So then he goes on, and it communicates the verse that you reference, and in doing so, he's saying, no one can speak from first-hand knowledge as I can, since I am not only from heaven, but I am the creator of heaven and earth. I am the creator of all things, and therefore no one has first-hand knowledge of these things like I do, because I'm the very creator of all things, and I came from heaven and have direct knowledge of heavenly things.
Okay, so with Elijah and Enoch, with them being taken up to heaven, there's no...
Yeah, this is not indicating that no one is in the presence of God, but no one has direct knowledge of heavenly things as the creator of heaven and earth does, and that is precisely who Jesus Christ is.
Okay, then, thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. I want to go right back to the phone lines and talk to Marcia, listening on Bot Radio, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Likewise. My question is, how did the Apostle Paul actually die? I have heard he was beheaded, and then there's some evidence saying that that's not conclusive. I was just actually wondering, because after reading 2 Timothy, it's kind of like Paul just doesn't exist anymore. And I realized he was living in the era during the time of Nero. So I was just wondering, how did he actually die?
Well, there's a traditional belief in this regard, and it is that Paul's condemnation and execution occurred during the persecution of Christians, and you're correctly stating that this took place under the Roman Emperor Nero. So Paul was likely executed somewhere around 64, 65. And the probable site of his execution is actually marked. There's a burial marker near the Basilica of St. Peter's or St. Paul's in Rome. And in fact, beneath the high altar there, there's a stone inscription going back at least to the 4th century that says to Paul, Apostle and Martyr. I actually wrote about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code.
Okay.
So there are traditional beliefs with respect to how he died, how he was executed, and we can't be absolutely certain about that, but we do know that he was martyred during the reign of Nero.
Okay. All right, then. I thought I was on the right page when I was kind of researching this, but in case, you know, one of my students might ask, I teach a Bible study class, I wanted to be accurate, and the information that I gathered was pretty much what you actually said, so I just wanted to make sure that my information was right.
Yeah, and as a Roman citizen, we can assume Paul would not have been crucified. There is a tradition with respect to Peter that he was crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord, feeling unworthy in that respect. But Paul was a Roman citizen, and therefore he wouldn't have been crucified, but he would have likely been martyred by beheading. So you're very, very correct in the assumptions that you're making.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much, and I really enjoyed it to you.
You got it. Thank you for your call, Marcia. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Leslie, listening on XM 170 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted some clarification, because my understanding is when you were saved that you received the Holy Spirit and that with indwells within you. I had a conversation with someone regarding speaking in tongues, and they were saying you had to have a second baptism of a Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit. So that just wasn't my understanding, so I wanted some clarification.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about the Apostle Paul in the previous call, and Paul makes plain that believers are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And yet he also makes clear that not all who believe speak in tongues. So tongues may be a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the notion that tongues are the manifestation, I think, goes beyond what the Bible says. And not only that, but even if you do not speak in tongues, it's not a if you do speak in tongues, it's not a guarantee that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because as Paul puts it, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So Paul says, without love, I'm nothing. And the problem today in churches is there's a lot of socio-psychological manipulation, tactics like peer pressure or the subtle power suggestion that can induce people to think that they are speaking in tongues when, in fact, they've been manipulated by priming the pump into speaking gibberish. And I think there's a real danger there, because if you say this is a tongue from the Holy Spirit when it isn't, it is socio-psychological manipulation, then you're blaspheming the very work of the Holy Spirit by saying that the Holy Spirit is doing something that the Holy Spirit isn't doing. So while I don't doubt the possibility that tongues can be spoken by Christians under the power of the Holy Spirit, I certainly do not believe that this is a normative manifestation for believers today. And I want to, again, underscore the fact that everyone who is a believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and empowered for service by the Holy Spirit, which is an ongoing infilling or empowering that we have as believers, so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit.
So there is no separate second baptism.
Well, I think that there is a sense in which we are infilled over and over again because we're leaky vessels. So I continually pray that God will infill me or empower me for service so that what I do, for example, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. That's an infilling that I'm praying for, an empowering for service. But we're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and as those indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we can pray for a second and a third and a fourth and a 1,000,000th blessing as we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I say, to say that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit goes beyond Scripture. You might say it's a manifestation of infilling or empowering for service, but to say it's the second blessing, I think, again, is something that goes beyond the Bible. But this is something that Christians, by and large, debate vigorously and don't have to divide over.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you for your time and for your help.
You got it. Scripture makes clear the normative sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, repentance from sin, and obedience to God. The Bible says that those who live in accord with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful person is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And as such, the fruit of the Spirit is not merely speaking in tongues, but joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see all of that in Galatians chapter 5. So in some, righteousness, not tongues, is the core of Christianity compressed in a single word. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, as mentioned in a previous segment. For your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you an autographed or personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book for yourself, a family member, or friend. 100% of the proceeds go to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute so we can continue making a difference around the globe, not just for time, but for eternity. To order your personalized copy, just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also access the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. For your gift this month, I also want to send you a copy of a special May Appeal, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. Again, you can access The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse in CD or DVD on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with more of your questions in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. We're able to fulfill that mission with our many outreach efforts between two offices, one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and another in Calgary, Canada. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. And when you partner with us, you'll receive special benefits such as specially selected resources to help you with your spiritual walk. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274.
You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break.
Use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-274. That's 888-7000-274. Don't wait. Start your subscription today.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we fight this battle for the Bible, remember that the regular prayerful and financial support of faithful friends like you is essential ammunition. Without you, we are impotent in the battle for the Bible, but with you, lives are being transformed. And for that, you have our deepest gratitude. To say thank you for standing with us in the fight for truth, Hank would like to send you his new message entitled The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse on DVD or CD. You can request your copy online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is a biblical name, Noah, listening on XM 170 in Clare, Michigan. We're getting so many XM 170 listeners these days. A great way to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hi, Noah.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I just wanted you to know I really appreciate your show. But I got I grew up in an Amish community, and I have a lot of friends that they don't believe in fighting in a war, or even as far as being a police officer, or as far as even just simply defending yourself if somebody breaks into your home or thieves break in or whatever. They believe you should just let them take whatever they want. they believe Christians don't have the right to defend ourselves because Jesus said somebody hits you on the right cheek, you offer the left also. And then when Jesus was captured, even though they carried a couple swords, when Peter used his sword, he told them to put it away because those who live by the sword die by the sword. And so they believe when Jesus came, he taught us not to defend ourselves.
Well, I think that goes beyond what the scripture says, and it's also taking the particular text that you referenced out of context, because Jesus overtly condemned the aggressive use of weapons. That is true, but clearly commended the defensive use of weapons, as he did in Luke chapter 22. So the notion that we cannot defend ourselves against an aggressor, I think, is distinctly unbiblical. If military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then police should not be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. But both principles are faulty, because military is allowed to maintain order among nations, and police should be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. Certainly, wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is, because of the hardness of our hearts. In the same way, because of sin, we need to have those that can maintain order within a society.
Yeah, that's the sad part that I don't understand. I'm just trying to figure out why they think that way. But they believe that the law is put there by God and that we are to obey the law, but they don't believe that Christians should be a part of it. And it's just hard for me to figure out how it almost puts condemnation on certain people then, because God ordained it that way. Then that's the question I had. So are police officers and people that fight in our wars to keep our freedom, are those people condemned then?
And of course not. The basic principle is just war. A war in defense of justice has to be fought justly. So in the case of a child, even, if you have a child with a bomb strapped to his back, that child can be killed. But we may not shoot an innocent baby in the arms of its mother, because that would defy just war theory. In other words, our responsibility is to maintain the higher good. If a Nazi warlord is going to rape and murder and pillage and wipe out a people on the basis of unbiblical principles, that aggressor must be resisted, because otherwise we're not maintaining the law of love. So the whole idea of making love and not war is a false dichotomy, because true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor. And that kind of love sometimes leads to military action in terms of defending people from an evil aggressor like a Nazi war criminal like Hitler. And it also relates to a police force maintaining order within a society.
I totally agree with you, Hank. It's really bothered me lately, and I don't know, do you have a book or some resource that I could offer them to read that would help them to understand? It bothers me that they partially condemn us because of the church we go to. We believe in law and order, and I believe we have the right to defend ourselves, and so they kind of condemn us for that.
And I wouldn't just say right, I'd say responsibility. But yeah, let me look around and see what we can send you in terms of an article on just war theory, and also the necessity of not using weapons in an aggressive format, because Jesus did condemn that, but in a defensive format, the defensive use of weapons. And again, you can look at Luke 22 in this regard. But let me look around, see what we have at the Christian Research Institute. I'm sure we have an article in that regard.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it.
You got it, Noah. Thanks for calling.
God bless.
Bless you, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Wayne in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. My question is in regards to 2 Kings 23 to 29. And this is where Josiah was the king, and he was very strong in his belief with God, and he changed the whole country upside down in regards to getting rid of all the evil and so on. And God was very pleased with this, and he blessed the country. And yet, right after he died, it was a matter whereby that it says that God was still very angry from the time of Manasseh when he was king, and he punished the next generation from the generations prior to that. And I guess my concern is, like, does this still happen today? Like, even though there was several generations between us and the evil from the prior, are we suffering?
Yes and no. And I think this is a really good question. I've been reading through the same passages myself in the Legacy Reading Plan. So I've been in 1 and 2 Kings. And you have to understand that curses follow down through the generations, not because it's a generational curse, but the fathers are affecting the sons in such a way that the sons follow in the evil footsteps of their fathers. Whenever the son repents, the evil that God had designed is now relented, because now the son is following in the pathway, not of the father, but rather the Father Almighty, the God who created heavens and earth. So the consequences to sin always follow inexorably, like night follows day. But if someone repents, the Lord always relents. And you see that principle played out time and time again in the Old Testament. So that principle cannot be violated as you read these passages.
Okay.
So, you know, Scripture clearly communicates that consequences, not curses, are passed through the generations. And in that sense, the Bible says that children are punished for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. The children of an alcoholic father are going to suffer neglect and abuse as a direct consequence of their father's sinful behavior. The descendants of those who hate God are likely to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers as well. But when, as Josiah, they obey the law, and they obey the Lord who made the law, then they are blessed as opposed to cursed. And that's the general principle that you find in the Old Testament, is blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel.
Okay. Thank you for your answer.
You got it. And you might also, as I'm thinking about this, want to read Ezekiel 18, because there you have an entire chapter of the Bible which is dedicated to the principle that I've just outlined for you.
Okay.
Where the Scripture explicitly tells us that the Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son. In fact, when ancient Israel quoted the proverb, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on end, God responds in no uncertain terms. He says, "As surely as I live, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. Because, says God, it is the soul who sins who will die."
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You got it. Good question. Thank you for the question. Right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Steve next, listening on Bot Radio in Tennessee. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for your ministry and your show. It's awesome. I appreciate it. I got a chance to meet you when you came out to our church a few years back. The question I've got, I work with a guy, I guess he calls himself an agnostic. He said he once was a Christian, so he knows a little bit about Scripture. He asked me, when resurrection took place, in Matthew 27, it talks about that many bodies were raised from the tomb and they appeared to many. Is there any other extra biblical information or literature that's out there that supports this? Because, you know, he has kind of a biased opinion towards what Scripture says, and he looks for something outside of the Bible to support that.
Yeah, well, and I think he should in this case, because if in fact you have something like this happening as a part of a historical narrative, you would expect to find some kind of extra biblical attestation to it.
Right.
Because that same passage talks about the curtain of the temple being torn in two from top to bottom.
Right.
If this happens, it's the most apocalyptic event in Jewish history, because remember, this is even prior to the time that the temple is actually destroyed. And therefore, you certainly would expect someone like Flavius Josephus writing about this
mm-hmm.
in his Antiquities.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going on here, and this goes to the issue of learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. This is apocalyptic language not meant to be pressed in a wooden literal labyrinth. It's the kind of language used at the death of kings, you know, where you have comets going off.
Right.
And the language points forward to the resurrection, which is itself an inauguration of the eschaton. The eschaton is our hope, the consummation of all things, including our resurrection, judgment, and absolute righteousness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the language itself, whenever you get apocalyptic language, you don't want to take the language and press it in a wooden literal labyrinth. Otherwise, you're going to take a passage like Revelation chapter 6, which uses apocalyptic language to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem, and you're going to say, oh my goodness, that didn't take place, so it has to take place in the future, when in fact it is language directed at the destruction of Jerusalem. The way we know this is if you read the Bible in light of the Bible, you'll see that the exact same language is used by Isaiah to prophesy the destruction of Babylon. And so it doesn't necessitate that actual stars are falling out of the sky or the sun actually goes black like sackcloth made out of goat hair. It's apocalyptic language. It's judgment language, and we should read it as such. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I'm out of time. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, be patient. Right now, if you want your call answered in the next hour, here's the number to dial. 888-ASK-HANK.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? A special one-time gift would help us fulfill our mission to provide Christians carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers to their most pressing questions. To donate, call us at 888-7000-274, where our resource consultants are waiting for your call. Or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse.
to equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.